All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, Attack by Chandavaka on the City of Puranjana, Text 17. Chiyamane Sva Sambande Ekasmin Bahubir Yudha Chintam Param Jagamartaha Sa Rastra Pura Bandavaha Shiyamane Swasambande Ekasmin Bahubir Yudha Chintam Puram Jagamartaha Swarastra Purabandavaha Chiyamane Swasambande Ekasmin Bahubir Yudha Chintam Param Jagamarta Sarastra Purabandavaha Chiyamane Swasambande Ekasmin Bahubir Yudha Chintam Param Jagamartaha Sarastra Purabandavaha Shiyamane Swasambande Ekasmin Bahubir Yudha Chintam Param Jagamarta Sarastra Purabandhava Shiyamane Swasambande Ekasmin Bahubir Yudha Param Jagamarta Sarastra Purabandhava Shiyamane Swasambande Ekasmin Bahubir Yudha Chintam Param Jagamarta Sarastra Purabandhava Vaishnavis, Shiyamane Swasambande Ekasmin Bahubir Yudha Chintam Param Jagamarta Sarastra Purabandhava Shiyamane Swasambande Sarastra Purabandhava Shiyamane Swasambande Ekasmin Bahubir Yudha Chintam Param Jagamarta Sarastra Purabandhava Shiyamane Swasambande
Asmin Bhavira Sintavam Jagamata Astra Prabhupada. Shiyamane, when he became weak, Swasambande, his intimate friend, Ekasmin, alone, Bhakti, with many warriors, Yudha, by battle, Chinta, anxiety, Param, very great, Jagama, obtained. Artha, being aggrieved. Sa, along with. Rashtra, of the kingdom. Pura, of the city. Bandavaha, friends and relatives. Translation by Srila Prabhupada, please repeat. Because he had to fight alone with so many soldiers, all of whom were great warriors, the serpent with five heads became very weak. Seeing that his most intimate friend was weakening, King Paranjana and his friends and citizens living within the city all became very anxious. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The living entity resides within the body and struggles for existence with the limbs of the body, which are referred to here as citizens and friends. One can struggle alone with many soldiers for some time, but not for all time. The living entity within the body can struggle up to the limit of 100 years with good luck, but after that, it is not possible to prolong the struggle. Thus, the living entity submits and falls victim. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Vridha Kalu Dola Sabha Sukha Bhagala. When one becomes old, it becomes impossible to enjoy material happiness. Generally, people think that religion and piety come at the end of life, and at this time, one generally becomes meditative and takes to some so-called yogic practice to relax in the name of meditation. Meditation, however, is simply a farce for those who have enjoyed life and sense gratification. As described in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, meditation, dhyana, dharana, is a difficult subject matter that one has to learn from his very youth. To meditate, one must restrain himself from all kinds of sense gratification. Unfortunately, meditation has now become a fashion for those who are overly addicted to sensual things. Such meditation is defeated by the struggle for existence. Sometimes such meditative processes pass for transcendental meditation. King Paranjana, the living entity, being thus victimized by the hard struggle for existence, took to transcendental meditation with his friends and relatives. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the translation again, because he had to fight alone with so many soldiers, all of whom were great warriors, the serpent with five hoods became very weak. Seeing that his most intimate friend was weakening, King Puranjana and his friends and citizens living within the city all became very anxious. Any material thing is subject to coming into existence, staying for some time, and then being destroyed. So whether we're talking about planets or material objects like cars or things like material bodies, they all come into existence at some time. They persist for some limited amount of time, and then they are destroyed. And just recently, I've been going through what's called computer hell. You know, my old computer died. So I was thinking of asking Swavas to announce before the Nisringa Day prayers. Drudha Karma's computer is very sick. It looks like might not make it through. Please pray for it. But so it did die, and then of course you have to get a new computer. It's like changing bodies, like very difficult to experience. Of course, that's what happens, you know, at the time of death. Really, there's no death. You know, we're dualist. That means we believe that there's a difference between the soul and the body. So when the soul leaves the material body, it goes with its subtle material body, composed of mind, intelligence, ego, and the subtle senses, to its next body. And there are demigods that are in charge of that process, you know, taking the soul from one body to another, connecting the subtle body, you know, with the new body. And so it's a very complex, you know, process. You know, just like it's a very complex process to go with your computer software. You know, like when you're old computer dies, hopefully you've saved all your programs and your files, and then you can transfer them to a new computer. It's a very difficult process. It's not very easy. So changing bodies is something like that. And here, King Puranjana is in the situation where he's seeing his body and the life airs that power it and the senses are becoming weak. So generally there's some signs, you know, like with your computer, you know, it starts getting slow, the programs don't work like they used to, it starts hanging up. You get signs that something's going to happen. So in the same way, with the material body, it functions nicely for some time. But then, after a while, it starts to function not so nicely. Of course, as devotees, we're prepared for this. We understand janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anadarshanam. We understand that anything, any material body is subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. And in one sense, that's a pessimistic view of life, but there's also an optimistic side to it, which is that we're not the body. Dehino smenyata dehe, karmaram yovanam jara, tata dehatra prapti, dirastatra namuyate. So that means a wise person really isn't disturbed, you know, by the changes of the body, the changes that the body undergoes in the course of life. And a wise person is also not disturbed by having to change the body at the end of life to go to another body. because the intelligent person understands that the real self is different, you know, than the material body. You know, the real self is Satchitananda Vigraha, just like Krishna is. Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, Manasastan Indriyani, Prakritishtani Karshati. So Krishna explains that really the soul is part of him, you know, the Atma, the Jiva. It's part of Krishna. And just like Krishna is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge, so the individual soul is also full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The difference is that the individual soul is chuta, capable of falling, and Krishna is achuta. He never falls down from his position of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And even when a soul does enter the conditioned state, still, in its original nature, it's still eternal, full of knowledge, full of pleasure. It's only by false identification that it experiences different kinds of material miseries. So the king is noticing that his friend, the five-headed serpent, is becoming weak. That means at a certain stage, the life heirs, that power, you know, the material body, become a little bit weakened. And this causes some anxiety. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that some people, you know, when they reach this stage of life, then they become interested in so-called meditation or so-called transcendental meditation. I think it appears to me Srila Prabhupada is using the word a little bit sarcastically here in the purport, that they think, okay, now, you know, the body is becoming a little bit weaker, the mind is becoming weaker, so now let me engage in, you know, a kind of meditation, which for most people just involves sort of sitting and doing nothing. And that's their so-called meditation in many cases. But the real meditation that's recommended in, you know, Bhagavad Gita is not this kind of inactivity. And it has an object as well. I mean, many people who meditate think that the goal is to empty the mind of all content and just be absorbed in that way. But in Bhagavad Gita, you know, we learn something else. Krishna says, Mamana bhavamad bhakto, madhyaji mam namaskaru, mami vaishasi satyam te pratijane prayosi me. Krishna tells Arjuna that, you know, the perfection of meditation is to always think of Krishna. Manmana, bhavamad bhakto. And to not just to think of Krishna, but to think of Krishna in the mood of devotional service, which involves activity. Like Krishna told Arjuna on the battlefield, Mam anusmara yudhya cha. Think of me and fight. So that is Krishna meditation. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena dharatmana shradavan bhajate yomam same yukto tamo mataha. So Krishna says that the highest yogi is the yogi who's constantly thinking of Krishna and acting for Krishna's pleasure in this mood of devotional service. So this is of the example that Srila Prabhupada gave, that throughout his entire life, he was always meditating on Krishna, but not just meditating on Krishna in an impersonal way, or just meditating on the form of Krishna, but meditating on serving Krishna, meditating on the order of his spiritual master. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. So he gave that example of meditating on Krishna's service, meditating on the order of Krishna's confidential representative, the bona fide spiritual master. So that's the example that he gave, that he was active throughout his entire life. We don't see that at the end of his life he became inactive. Actually, he really began his active preaching in the West when he was 69 years old, which is the time when many people find themselves in the situation described here in this verse, becoming a little bit fatigued and starting to wonder about what's going to happen, and trying to put themselves into some retired condition where they can just either relax and enjoy themselves materially, or even if they're a little bit spiritually inclined, they just want to withdraw from activity and just stay in one place. But at age 69, Srila Prabhupada got on a boat and headed to the Western world and landed in New York City, not knowing whether he was going to go right or left, he said, and just expecting Krishna's mercy. Because that's usually people, as they grow older, they want some kind of security. They're tired of taking risks. They say, okay, that when I was young, I could do that. I could take risk. But now I'm older, I want security. I don't want to be in risky situations anymore. Of course, we see that even materially speaking, that some people, even as they grow older, they're still willing to take risk. They're still willing to put themselves in difficult situations. And generally, they're a more interesting type of person if you meet an older person like that, who's still willing to change, willing to take on some new adventures. But spiritually, that is the nature of spirit. Because the body may become old, but the soul, it's navayovana, it's always youthful. It's always has its energy. I mean, because the bodily instrument may become a little bit worn out, the soul may not be able to express itself in the same way that it may be able to do in a more youthful body. But still, we see that Srila Prabhupada was taking risk, starting new adventures, at an age when many people would be, as I said, just hunkering down, trying to find some little bit of security. So that is, the example that Srila Prabhupada set for us. Of course, it's an ideal example. We can't always hope to do everything, that the greatest souls do. But still, the example is there for us that, we should, at every stage in our life, whether it's youth or middle age or old age, we should be meditating on Krishna's service and not becoming too absorbed in the conditions of the material body. We want to keep the material body fit for serving Krishna as far as possible. So we have to, as Krishna says, make sure that we eat the right amount, not too much, not too little, sleep, not too much, not too little, engage in recreation, not too much, not too little. And in that way, keep the body and mind fit for serving Krishna, because that's what will carry us, that energy, that energy of always wanting to serve Krishna, serve the order of the spiritual master, Krishna's representative. It's that energy that will carry us to our next state. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever state that we're in when we leave this body, that will determine our next existence. So if we keep that fresh energy of devotional service and always keep ourselves in the condition of being willing to take risk for Krishna's service, then either we come back to this world to continue the process of devotional service from where we left off, or we go to the universe where Krishna's lila are going on, and we enter into those lila for some final training before going back home, back to Godhead, to Goloka Vrindavan. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes? Well, I have to say, I don't know, everything about that. I know it's considered very auspicious. We're told, we should wear, Tulsi, neck beads. And, there are some procedures when someone's leaving their body that involve, like Tulsi leaves. And so we're told, these are auspicious things. What their exact effect is, I'm not really sure. Maybe somebody knows some Shastric statements. But Srimati Tulsi Devi is a pure devotee, so getting the mercy of a pure devotee is always auspicious for one at every stage of life. Archita?
Well, there's one dramatic story. I can't tell you exactly the version of it. It was told by Jayapataka Maharaj, so we could contact him, that there was this really bad guy in the village. He was so nasty, he would just be mean to everybody. And then one day he was on his way down to the river, and there was a bull coming from the other side. And it was a narrow path, so he expected the bull to move for him to pass. And the bull was standing there, just minding his own business. So finally he got mad, he was beating the bull. And the bull finally got angry and gored him to death. So this brahmana from the same village was coming along. He saw the body, figured this guy was really mean, but, he's a human being. Let me do something. So he brought a little Ganges water, sprinkled on it, and put a tulsi leaf on his mouth, and went off and took his bath. So when he came back, by some mystic vision, he saw a group of Yamadutas coming towards him. And they were mad at him. He said, it's all your fault. Why? Because they looked all beat up. And he said, well, why are you mad at me? He said, because you came and put that tulsi leaf on Ganges. He said, we were waiting forever to take this guy out of his body. We were all licking our chops to get him. And finally he dies, and then you had to come and put Ganges water and a tulsi leaf on his lip. And because of that, the Vishuddhutas beat us up and wouldn't let us take the soul away. So you have to ask Jai Pataka Maharaj exactly where it came from, but I heard him tell that story.
So, anything else? Yes?
Just, I had a thought when you were talking about adventure, and from all that I've ever gotten to in my life, read or heard and experienced, the internal journey, the internal adventure is by far the greatest. And so even as we get older and the body begins to wane and give out, we still have that opportunity.
Yes, so the internal adventure is very important. You know, that's also another way in which we can continue to challenge, you know, ourselves and take up, you know, like you said, that adventuresome spirit in conquering over different internal anartas and constantly trying to improve our mental focus on Krishna, you know, the intelligence that we use in devotional service, learning to think about Krishna in an unbroken way, to constantly meditate on Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. Yeah, that's also, like you say, very important, and even more important than, you know, external, you know, activity. But in this day and age, we learn that it's. I mean, there's a science for that internal adventure, you know, the yoga system. Learning how to control the life airs and the mind and the subtle body. And, you know, that there's a whole system for that. And Srila Prabhupada's alluding to that in this purport, you know, that there is a system for that internal transformation of consciousness. But it's very difficult to perform that as the main process in this age, and therefore we have, for the Kali Yuga, a different system that involves active devotional service as well. Anything else? Yes, Dwarkarani?
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class. I think I was just thinking about the word security and how we make plans for our own security. And when I was younger and I was working in Boston and I was in the computer industry hiring for jobs, and it was well known if you work for these certain corporations that you would have lifetime security. And they would tell you they never lay off, you will have a job the rest of your life. And so families, like husband and wives, were both working. They were both making over $100,000. Two Jaguars in the driveway and children in a home, and they were secure. And then I remember in October of 1989, the stock market crash, and there was these big headlines. They were so tall, black headlines, and it said, you know, Digital Equipment, which was one of the largest one, lays off 20,000 people. And suddenly all those people who had such a secure life had nothing. And they were all, the computer companies followed suit. This is when computer industry was mostly in Boston and everybody was out of work, and all these people, all they had was debt and Jaguars, and they had no future. They had nothing left because now they're overpriced, not very skilled, and they couldn't work again. And so, like, all, when you live long enough, you start to see the folly more than when you're young and you're thinking, I'll just get this and then I'll be secure and I have all my savings and I have all my things, and in 1 minute it's wiped out.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.